Hello, business owners, entrepreneurs, and executives. Welcome to today's Business Radio, a new hybrid radio show that airs both on air as well as online and on demand. We discuss all the topics relating to your business. Today's Business Radio interviews experienced business advisors to help you build enterprise value, improve profitability, and plan for your eventual exit. Whether you're an entrepreneur just starting out, a seasoned business owner, or a top-level executive, today's Business Radio will help you achieve your personal and professional goals. Today's Business Radio is available around the clock, around the world, online, and on demand at todaysbusinessradio.com. Now, the host of today's Business Radio, Tom Lyons.
Hello, this is Tom Lyons. I'm here with my co-host, Sam Zordich, and our producer, Jorgie Jorgensen. And our guest today is Steve Soderling from Tonka Bay Equity Partners, LLC. Steve, thanks for being with us today.
Thanks. Excited to be here.
Hello.
Steve, can you give us a little background on your firm, Tonka Bay Equity Partners, and what it's all about?
Sure. We are a Minneapolis-based private equity fund. We've been around for just over 11 years. We started back in 1998. We're currently investing our second fund, which is a $125 million pool of capital. We kicked that fund off in 2005. We look for companies with EBITDA between $2 and $6 million or sales between $10 and $60 million. We are interested in three broad industry segments, highly engineered manufacturing, business services, and value-added distribution.
I think we just heard his elevator speech, and he did a fine job of it, didn't he, Sam?
Yeah.
Now, let's see if we can put those in words that everyone can understand. You are a group of partners. You have raised two sets of funds, millions of dollars, with the specific purpose of going out and locating businesses to acquire or invest in and help them grow. And in the process, you're trying to achieve a good return on investment with the dollars that you're investing, correct?
That's right. And so what we're really trying to target are private businesses, ones that are not publicly traded, and look for businesses that have a real competitive advantage in the marketplace in which they serve, where there's existing management in place. And what we're trying to do is invest in these businesses, help them grow over a course of 5 to 7 years, and then ultimately look to provide an adequate or superior rate of return for our limited partners.
Now, you said business services, professional services?
That's correct. So historically, leveraged buyout or private equity transactions have historically had a high manufacturing content, which usually has meant that the assets don't go home at night. As our economy has transitioned and become more service-based, we've been receptive to those in particular situations.
Now, that's an interesting distinction, but why did you decide to go that route?
Well, you know, the markets that we are participating in, which would be defined as the small to medium-sized businesses, has become a lot more service-oriented. And so as we've looked for opportunities, it just so happened that that's been an area that we've seen a number of businesses that, you know, fit a lot of the criteria that we're looking for.
Now, Tonka Bay has done a number of deals over the years. You've bought a number of companies, and you've already exited and sold out of a number of investments as well, haven't you?
That's right, Tom. So our first fund, which we raised in 1998, we had 15 investments. We have exited 14 of those investments to date. Our second fund, which we're currently investing, we currently have 9 current portfolio companies in that fund, and we have not had any exits in that fund yet.
Well, Steve, you've been in private equity for quite some time. How many years you've been at this, and what's your background, and when did you join Tonka Bay?
Sure. I've been involved in the private equity space since 1998, the end of 98, the beginning of 99, so almost concurrently with Tonka Bay's history. I previously had been at a private equity fund in Minneapolis called Norwest Equity Partners, which is where I started my career in private equity. And prior to that, I had spent a number of years at Arthur Andersen in their economic and financial consulting group.
So you're an old bean counter like me then.
I have an accounting emphasis, but most of my experience and my degree was actually in finance.
Great.
So I'm a finance major. And then I joined Tonka Bay at the start of this second fund in October of 2005.
And you're a principal at Taco Bay?
That's right. So we are a group of 6 individuals. We have 5 investment professionals, 4 of which are principals, and then an office manager that helps us as well.
Okay, Steve, our topic for today is recapitalization of businesses. I think in my practice, in mergers and acquisitions practice, when I talk to business owners, a lot of them think in kind of simple terms in that someday they're going to sell their business, so they're getting ready for their exit strategy or a sale. And a lot of them engage in acquiring in order to grow, because obviously you can grow organically or you can grow by acquisition. And they don't think of anything in between, but there's really other things in between when you talk about mergers and ESOPs and all kinds of alternatives. But today's alternative is a recapitalization. Can you just give us a basic explanation? What's a recap?
Sure. You know, we look at the world in sort of a couple different manners. There are traditional leverage buyouts. There's growth equities. There's acquisition financings. And recapitalizations, or what more simplistically we would say is a partial sale, is a scenario that is really quite prevalent, but unfortunately not a lot of business owners understand and recognize that it's not an all-or-nothing transaction. They think of the world as that they have to sell either 100% of their business, otherwise they're not selling at all. And a recap, as we look at it, or a partial sale, is a scenario where they will sell us usually a majority position in the business, but they will retain usually anywhere from 10 to 30% of the business in a transaction. So they are actually rolling a portion of their ownership and their proceeds into the new transaction along with us.
So give an example so that people can understand a little bit more clearly.
Sure. We in fact, in our second fund, there's a business located in St. Paul where the owner, who was an individual in his early 40s, had spent about 10 years growing a business and developing it to a size and scale that was of interest to us. And but he wasn't ready to retire. Mm-hmm. He had done a lot of work to create a lot of value in his business, but it wasn't monetary. It wasn't tangible. And as he looked out to the future, he saw that what he wanted to obtain was some fruits of his labor, mm-hmm. and the opportunity to sell a portion of his business today to diversify his net worth, to provide his family some insurance that what he had been working on all these years was actually worth something. But he still had a lot of energy and still wanted to be involved in the business. So we came in. We've subsequently partnered with him. We own a majority control of the business, yet he is still the CEO of the business, still in charge with the day-to-day operations of the business, yet has been able to take a lot of the pressure and some of the stress of being the sole owner of a business and provide a little bit more stability for his family going forward.
Hmm. So a recapitalization gives a business owner an opportunity to sell part of the company, keep part of the company, and add some capital to take advantage of future growth opportunities. And in so doing, it's going to limit his liability exposure somewhat going forward. He no longer owns 100% of the company. He might own 30% of the company, but he's not the only person standing there talking to the bank anymore, is he?
Sounds like a no-brainer, doesn't it?
That sounds like a pretty good deal to me.
Yeah, it does. You know, we look at we talk about this quite a bit, and I think you know, unfortunately, there's a lot of misconceptions out there about this type of transaction, and we found it hits a lot of the points, Tom, that you just outlined. You know, a lot of times business owners do have personal guarantees on lines of credit, on mortgages of buildings and such.
Let's say 100% maybe?
That's right. And so partnering with a private equity group such as ourselves that has a large capital base removes that personal guarantee. It provides them some liquidity today, which isn't necessarily always a bad thing, but it enables them to retain a meaningful equity position in the business, which then can provide them an opportunity to have a second payday, or as people in the industry like to say, a second bite at the apple that can be, you know, sometimes as if not more lucrative than the transaction initially that they would have done with ourselves.
Now, Steve, the process you go through when you examine a business for a recap is going to be the same process you go through when you examine a business to buy it 100%. You're going to want to take a look at the industry and see what kind of market share they have and make a determination whether or not there's some upside potential, correct?
Correct.
And then you want to make sure that the management team is in place. I've known you and I've known Taco Bay Partners for a number of years. I know full well that you don't want to run the business.
That's right. That's right.
Can you explain that?
Yeah, you know, you're right. There really isn't a difference between a traditional leveraged buyout transaction where an owner sells 100% versus one in which a management wants to stay. The big difference that occurs is that usually the owner is not absent. They're there day to day, and they still want to stay there day to day. They're not ready to retire, or they haven't thought about succession planning. And so all roads in most instances will lead through them, and for their ability to exit the business and really kind of wipe their hands of the deal on day one would be difficult and may not maximize the value that they could generate off the transaction. And so the ability for them to pursue a recapitalization transaction really is a compelling opportunity for them. And we don't look at the world much differently, to your point, Tom, because we don't manage these businesses, but rather provide strategic direction at the board level and are in the day-to-day operations of the business. So from their perspective, the world really doesn't change post-close. I've had a couple recent transactions that have been recaps where the owner has called the day or two after closed and has said, okay, now what? And there's a long pause. And we say, you know, life's the same. Nothing's really changed. And so it's been sort of a funny scenario, but one in which I think that they've obviously then done their due diligence on us or the private equity group and really want to make sure that chemistry is there and that when the deal really does close and they've given up control in most instances, that things are still going to be the same. And in the situation that we've been a part of, that has indeed been the case.
I keep hearing the owner gives up part of the control, and I can see the upside of if you've hit the ceiling on your resources or your own personal energy or, you know, being able to sell. But the question that I'm hearing is you can say that it's not going to change, right? But how can it not change?
Well, you know, good point of distinction. You know, I think the biggest thing is some of the intangibles that we like to think that we bring to these businesses. And I think we look at it as really value-creating opportunities. A lot of the businesses that we're partnering with at our level don't have a complete management team. So there's some holes in the management team. There usually has not been a board. Mm-hmm. In the past, we have board, and I sit on the board of a number of our portfolio companies. They usually haven't been through a strategic planning process, and they usually lack the benefit of bringing in resources to help execute that plan. Mm-hmm. So those are kind of the four key tenets of what we're doing post-close with our companies that we've found been very valuable to our companies, helping them evaluate management and making some of the decisions really to augment what they currently have. We're not slashing and burning, right. But rather coming in and augmenting in key positions that they've been reluctant or haven't necessarily known that they need to upgrade or enhance. The traditional scenario is the CEO is also head of sales and marketing.
Mm-hmm.
And as these businesses hit these inflection points, which, Tom, you know so well, they only can do so much. And they need resources to help them execute and take the business to the next level. Management team's a big component of that. Boards. We've added 15 outside independent board members to our company that bring a whole variety of skill sets that are relevant to the particular business that can really help them think of the world differently, bring some new perspective, open up some sales opportunities, help with some efficiencies in the manufacturing floor. So that's been very valuable as well. We've gone through a strategic planning process where we bring in some game-changing strategies to really help us get past those sort of inflection points and take that business to the next level, and the resources surrounding that to execute it, whether it be sales, lean manufacturing, or a whole variety of other skills. So yes, it does change, mm-hmm. but when it pertains to the employee base and sort of their perspective, it's usually a net gain, but their roles and responsibilities really don't change.
So you're looking for owners who really do want to grow their business. They've just capped somewhere.
Absolutely. You know, as a private equity fund, we make a return on our investment by growing our businesses. Mm-hmm. And our objective is to double or triple the businesses during our 5 to 7 years of ownership. And so we're looking for executives that have sort of reached that breaking point. When perhaps they recognize and have a vision for how to take their business forward, but they're really struggling with the execution of that, and it usually comes down to capital resources. They've either kind of pushed their line of credit and personal guarantees to a place where they can't access further capital, or they recognize that perhaps via acquisition or some significant investment in the business, they can't do it.
Mm, so and it's a true partnership.
It really is.
Yeah.
It really is.
Steve, let's walk through a scenario here. If I bring you a business owner that started a business 20 years ago, the owner is maybe in his mid-40s, done a good job of building the business but has plateaued out, not making enough money to quite satisfy the bank. He's into it up to his ears. Got plenty of opportunities to grow, but he doesn't have the capital to do it. He hasn't had enough profitability to add the full management team, the CEO, the CFO, all the rest of that stuff. Typical founding business owner, wearing all the hats, doing all the work, overworked, undercapitalized, but has a good product or service and the potential to grow. If I'm going to bring you that person, I think I know the answer to this, but how are you going to react to that when we talk about a recap?
Yeah, you know, that's a fastball down the middle, Tom. I mean, you and I have talked over the years about situations, and you know, we're looking for businesses that are ripe and at that stage of really sort of inflecting to accelerate growth. And, you know, the business owner that is at that point and they admit as much and they're truthful with themselves and with folks like yourselves and us on a private equity perspective, those are terrific opportunities because we like to provide in a couple testaments. I've had a couple executives where we've done recaps have said to me, you know, I'm sprinting now. I mean, I feel unshackled. I feel liberated. I feel I have a new lease on life with this business. You know, they've kind of, again, removed some of those personal guarantees. We could come back to that, as well as the ability to really sort of push the accelerator on the business. And it isn't all their own pocket. That's funding it is a big deal for a lot of these business owners.
Steve, aren't there really two big questions? Number one is, to that business owner we're talking about, what do you need to complete your team? And number two, if you didn't have to worry about capital, how fast would you grow this company? What would you do with it if you had access to as much capital as you need to take advantage of those growth opportunities?
Yeah, I mean, I think that you're getting to the point of if you're going to entertain a process like this, you know, be prepared. Famous last words, but really think about it, because some of the early questions we ask are, you know, tell me about your management team. How deep is it? What role do you play? How active in the business are you? And what's the team that surrounds you? I use the old proverbial beer truck test. What happens if you get hit by the proverbial beer truck? What happens to the business? Can it survive without you or not? And usually what we found is that the businesses need some additional strength over the course of time. And then if you didn't have any capital constraints, what is your vision for the business and where do you think you can take this? And if you've thought through those questions and you believe that there is a compelling growth opportunity to your business, sort of irrespective of if you have the management team or not, we feel that we can partner with you and really create a significant amount of shareholder value for the business and the employees.
Steve, this sounds too good to be true, but it gets even better because these business owners that are out there and their founders, they're all in. They've pledged every asset they have. They've borrowed every dollar they can. They're working night and day. And now you're bringing them the opportunity to bring in some extra people with knowledge and experience. You're bringing in capital. You're bringing in debt. And you're going to let them take a little money off the table to put away for their estate planning and their family. Keep a piece of the action, and now off we go, off to the races we go. Almost too good to be true, isn't it?
Well, you know, it is. And again, I think it gets, it sounds better than it is. And it is quite compelling. You know, I think that the reality is most people haven't thought about it, Tom. It's an opportunity that's out there that isn't well publicized. In fact, if you put recapitalization in the spell check, it comes back as an incorrectly spelled word. And so that's why I'm using the partial sale, because most people don't think about it. It's an opportunity to, you know, really kind of have your cake and eat it too.
Really is. And once you find an investment and partner up with them, we touched on this a minute ago, you really don't want to get involved in the day-to-day operations of the business. You want them to continue doing that. You want to come to the board and just say, what do you need? What's your plan? How can we help?
That's right. You know, our activity is at the board level, and that usually is quarterly board meetings, usually four times a year, a strategic planning process shortly after we close a deal to really set that roadmap and that that game plan for the course of our ownership. You know, we own our businesses 5 to 7 years, and that may seem like a long time, and particularly in a public setting it is. We're not evaluated on a quarterly basis, but, you know, 5 to 7 years can go by pretty darn quick. And if we're not all on the same page and have a game plan for how we're going to get from the close, point A, to the ultimate liquidity event in the future, we may flounder. And so we take a lot of time up front to confirm the investment thesis, to make sure that we have a plan in place to really execute the plan that we've embarked upon. And, you know, then it's infrequent get-togethers outside of the board meeting whereby, you know, we may have phone conversations depending if the business is local. We may get together informally outside the board meetings. But for the most part, we're not there day-to-day, and we're talking to them maybe monthly and certainly seeing them quarterly and maybe more frequently, but usually not much more.
You know, it sounds like there's a lot of risk on your side. And a lot of, so what is it, what would be a deal breaker for you that may not be quantifiable? I mean, can't be just looking through these, you know, financials and.
You told me a story about a surprise with some liability issues you found at the tail of a deal that you didn't close, and we don't want to get into too much specifics.
Yeah, but. You know, every deal's got its issues that you have to contend with. From a business perspective, one of the major considerations is customer concentration.
Okay.
So that's a scenario where a significant portion of the revenue perhaps is confined to a couple customers.
Mm-hmm.
And what we tend to look at through our world is anything over 20% becomes problematic. And so, you know, we've come across a number of businesses where it's a terrific business. It's got some what was perceived to be some competitive advantages, generates tremendous profitability, yet has three or four customers that comprise 80-90% of revenue.
Which is high risk.
Which is very high risk. And so, you know, we are going through extensive due diligence, both financial, legal, environmental, insurance coverages, through the course of our diligence to make sure no stone's unturned, to make sure that there aren't those deal breakers.
Really, Steve, we've talked a little bit about the idea of a recapitalization, and you go through the same due diligence for a recap as you do on a purchase. But once you buy in, and once you've got everything settled, now you're partnering with this founder, owner, who's still there, and he still has an equity interest. There's two things happening at that point, as I see it from what you've said. Number one, how do we grow profitably? How do we build the business? But number two, and you've kind of touched on it, is now we're going to start working on our exit strategy. How are we going to make this enterprise value more valuable? Who's going to be the management team at the time we sell 5 to 7 years from now? And how are we going to make this thing as valuable as possible and help management walk through those issues while we're growing? So you're building a team and you're getting ready for the second bite of the apple, you call it.
Yep.
Can you explain the second bite of the apple quickly?
Sure. So, you know, if we've executed appropriately and we're sitting there 5 to 7 years out, usually what we're going to do is, you know, make sure that we have a team in place that we can put in front of the next buyer that's complete, that we have a compelling proposition investment thesis for the next management team that is proven over the course of our ownership period. So we're not entering a new frontier, but rather we are executing a plan and performing on a plan that's consistent with how we've historically demonstrated our growth. And we are positioning the business for growth in the future, such that the next buyer is going to have a pathway and the credibility off the historical financials to determine that this team can execute, it has the competencies to continue on with what they're doing, and ultimately can generate a meaningful return for ourselves, but also compelling investment opportunity for the next buyer.
So have you established the growth, you've put in place the management team, you've established the next succession plan, and you've hopefully reduced the risk for the next buyer, the next owner of that business going forward. Those are all things on your mind.
That's right. It's right. You really want, you know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. And that really is what we're attempting to do, is create an environment where there's a pathway, not a big leap from the business from going from where it's at today to the next buyer.
Stephen, the 2008, 2009, it's been really a different economic time. Banking is different. Getting financing is different. There's a lot of small businesses that are out there that have some belly aches with their bankers that they've never had before. And I would think there's a lot of those businesses that would welcome the opportunity to take in some fresh capital and some fresh minds to help them work through things going forward. I would think this would be a great time to look at recapitalizations.
We sure think so, Tom. You know, we've been out talking to a lot of business owners and believe that now more than ever, the recapitalization or the private sale is a really compelling business proposition for owners to make a little bit of money on a transaction today through a liquidity event and partner with a private equity group that can provide resources and a capital base for them to execute on their strategy.
And Steve, one last point that I think is important. I know that Tonka Bay Equity Partners is funded, and in my world, that makes a big difference between a funded and unfunded equity partner.
You bet. We've got a big capital base, and we've got over 60% of our capital that's invested and 40% that's looking for investment opportunities.
But funded means when you go out and look at opportunities, you have the funds available to invest. You don't have to turn around and go find investors and raise the funds.
That's right. We've got over $50 million available for investments in today's economy.
That's a major difference in my world of mergers and acquisitions. Well, that's about all the time we have for today, Steve. I'm Tom Lyons, along with Sam Zordich and our producer, Georgie Jorgensen. I'd like to thank Steve Soderling from Tonka Bay Equity Partners, LLC, for being with us today to discuss recapitalizations on todaysbusinessradio.com.
You've been listening to Today's Business Radio with host Tom Lyons. Tom is the owner of Phelan Partners Limited, an M&A advisory and consulting firm. You can listen weekly to Today's Business Radio every Tuesday and Thursday morning at 7:20 on the talk station, AM 1500 KSTP. Tom and myself, Jay Coles, discuss business ownership topics to help business owners, entrepreneurs, and top-level executives build enterprise value, improve profitability, and plan for their eventual sale. That's every Tuesday and Thursday at 7:20 a.m. on the talk station, AM 1500 KSTP. Today's Business Radio is also available around the clock and around the world at todaysbusinessradio.com. That's todaysbusinessradio.com. All content provided by Today's Business Radio is provided for general information only and should not be treated as a substitute for professional advice from your legal, accounting, and business advisors. Today's Business Radio is not liable for the contents of this podcast, nor does it endorse any commercial product or service mentioned or advised in this podcast. All radio shows, podcasts, and other content provided by Today's Business Radio is copyrighted and may not be reproduced or downloaded for any reason without prior written consent by Today's Business Radio. If you have a topic you'd like covered at Today's Business Radio, log on to our website at todaysbusinessradio.com and submit your comments and questions. Thanks for listening to todaysbusinessradio.com.